Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. Joining me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, does your throat hurt as much as I do? Because have you been screaming all weekend?
I have not been screaming all weekend, but I understand you have been. I've seen quite a lot of pictures on your social media. You were back on stage this weekend, weren't you?
I was. I was part of a two tribute shows. One was a tribute to the emo rock scene of the early aughts, and is also a tribute to this upcoming Las Vegas show called When We Were Young, a big festival with all of those early aughts emo bands, as well as a few other modern day metal bands. We gave them all a tribute on Friday, and then just last night we did our Grunge Night 7. Some buddies of mine, the Ivans, put on these shows where we tribute the grunge era, and last night though we tributed post-grunge. So you got bands like Breaking Benjamin and Tantric and Stained, and even some other metal bands of that era, sort of post-grunge, however you want to think of that. And it went really super well, but I did a lot of screaming over the weekend. So if I sound a little rough tonight, it shows, and that's why.
Well, I got to tell you, you're going to be screaming more, my friend, because we have tonight quite possibly our two favorite all-time guests. They're certainly in the top five, that's for sure. Both agreed to come on together to finish off All-Star August here. So I'll leave it up to you, Mark, the master of the intro, to introduce our guests here this evening.
Coming in hot, we have the actual rock historian himself. That's right. He legitimizes our podcast and what we do here. The Sir Eric Sinich. What's up, Eric?
I love it. I have been knighted. Mark, Corey, what's going on, guys? It's great to be back, man. This is an honor. I really shouldn't be here. I have to thank my man Sean from Sean Geek podcast, who urged you guys to have me on, right?
That's right, because although you did make it to the second round of voting, you lost horribly to our next guest. Mark, take it away.
That's right. Unfortunately, your knighthood just could not withstand the overwhelming power of popularity.
The queen.
The Van Halen queen herself, Kelsey Van Halen. Kelsey, coming in under the weather, over the weather, however you want to describe it. How you feeling?
I'm good, and I'm honored to be here alongside Eric. I was
I didn't know I was that popular. So I was excited to come back. And then everyone was like, yeah, get the hell back on this podcast. So I was like, all right, say less. I'll be there. And here I am.
Kelsey, what was the song you had when you were on? I can't remember.
Judgment Day.
Oh, Judgment Day. I
Amazing.
Love Judgment. That's right. Oh,
such
God,
a good
I
song.
I love that song. Gets better with each passing year.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yep. Now, last week we had Man on a Mission. I'm curious, both Eric and Kelsey, how would you have voted if you had spun Man on a Mission? Let's start with Eric.
Yeah, I would still give it the thumbs up on that one, because the lyrics, as you guys so eloquently put it, the lyrics aren't so hot. You know, it's not Sammy's best, finest moment, but the music itself is just so good, and Eddie's Eddie. And so, yeah, the song, I would give it a thumbs up. I would say, I think you had said it, Corey, the music itself overrides the lack of lyrical strength on that one.
100%. Kelsey, how would you have voted?
I would say the same thing. I always tell people that Eddie sounds good regardless, so I'm always down. You know what I mean?
By the way, it's Cabo Wabo, a song that I picked and I got correctly. And then
you did.
Corey, you son of a bitch. You picked a song, was a few episodes ago. Yours was Feel Your Love Tonight, wasn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
Yep.
So now it's up to Mark and Kelsey to call their shot here tonight. They want to hear and to spin it, yeah. Mark, you've had rotten luck. But before we do that, maybe we should get into the Twitter poll from last week and go through some of the comments.
Oh boy,
that's true. We, as you guys know from last week, we did the song "Man on a Mission," and this one, the poll results, the rockin' poll, as we call it, staggering result, because only 57% won the "Dreams Are Made Of" category over the 42.6% "The Dream Is Over," almost a 50-50 split. That's crazy. That's crazy to me, because I don't know. We usually don't see that unless it's a very polarizing tune. But Corey, what are people saying about this song in the tweets?
Well, polarizing is right. The two of us voted "What Dreams Are Made Of," and of course, Fast Freddy and Geek Boy, or whatever that other guy called them, they voted "The Dream Is Over." But both you and I like the song. Like Eric said, you know, Eddie was fantastic, I thought, on that track. But some of the comments. Let's go to Jonathan P. Todd. He says, I love this tweet. "In this episode, Mark Curry and two guests with horrible luck discuss Sammy Hagar, who hair he conditions, singing about spatchcocking while on a mission to get fire crotch in Saskatchewan or Manitoba. Hilarity ensues and two guitar solos. That is what dreams are made of." I thought that summed up the episode pretty well.
And that is the tweet of the week. So congratulations.
Yeah. And then afterwards, hey, he says,
"Flesh, blood and bone, baby. Flesh, blood and bone."
That's right. I love that site said splat play and bone, though. That was
I know.
A lot of people didn't like that we went off on that tangent, but that's maybe the most fun I've had on the show, was going off on that tangent. So
wasn't that Todd who came up with that, though? Wasn't he the one that thought it was?
Well, it's actually on the lyrics site. We go to with we were
oh,
we
that's
were
right,
going
that's
with
right.
A to Z lyrics, and it says splay. I can't even remember what the fuck it said, but it was just we had no idea what the hell the phrase meant. And so we just kind of went off on that. And I know some people were mad it derailed the show, but I had a fuck ton of fun talking about it.
Splat and bone, man.
Yeah, play splat and bone.
Yeah, that's going to be in my next tattoo.
We're getting a t-shirt made up. Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty Project is going to help us out with that. Jonathan continues, though. "I actually love this riff in the funky opening," which I agree. I love both. "And the lyrics are not as bad as claimed. I think if you did a podcast audit, there is as much crap from Corey about David Lee Roth lyrics as Sammy's." And I said, you're probably right. I do tend to favor Dave lyrics over Sammy's, especially when it comes to sexual innuendo. I think Dave is more the master of the metaphor than Sammy is, but I've probably given Dave some crap on his lyrics as well. And it was really more, I know I gave Sammy a lot of grief on that one, but it was more the misprint on the lyric site we were going with. And that
issue. The misprint was so bad. That was so Sammy, bad. And look,
Sammy's a pretty good lyricist. Dave, he has a couple of missteps, Dave, though. This was a misstep.
It was lyrically. Yes. And look, Dave may have the better metaphors, but they're not all great metaphors.
Oh God,
let's
no.
just
no,
be he... completely real. Yeah. but you know, it is what it is.
I'll say it. Sammy can sing the phone book. I don't I don't give a shit what he's singing, man. That voice is too good. He can sing about whatever he wants.
And still, to this day, killing it with Sammy the Turtle. Oh. He still sings.
Yeah.
Josh says, absolutely wretched lyrics. Heard better prose come out of a trailer park produced homebrewed porno flick in Bakersfield, and I ought to know.
Wow.
So Josh, not a fan.
I ought to know.
So Gene Hickey says, Ohio or California? I may have seen that one too.
Wretched lyrics.
Wretched lyrics. Gene goes on to say, well, it's not top tier. I do still like the song, but I can't say that with 100% certainty because the only thing I'm absolutely sure of right now is that I will not be eating chicken wings anytime soon. Hashtag spatchcock.
Hashtag spatchcock.
Yep. Thank you very much for that, Gene. Our buddies at the Deep Purple podcast said, while not a runaway What Dreams Are Made of the worst I can think to say about it is it's a little generic and probably filler. Not enough for the dream to be over. Overall, a good track. And I think that's kind of where Mark and I kind of fell on the side of it as well.
Yeah. Mark, you brought up a great point. I think it was in that episode about just listening to Alex do what he does during the solos. Yeah. It's so cool. So
it is. I've mentioned on the show before, I am more aware of Alex's presence now listening to Van Halen than I ever was in previous listens, shall we say, because I wasn't big on Alex as a drummer for a long time, just because I don't know, I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't opening my mind to it. And the more we keep doing the show, the more he wins me over, and it's amazing.
Their most popular song of all time, Jump. Listen to what he's doing during the solo. Before the keyboard solo.
Maybe we'll get to it.
Eddie's doing his guitar solo.
One thing, doing the show, you really appreciate what Alex does during Eddie's solos. And actually, there was a tweet that the Tom Petty Project show pointed out to us. I think the question was, name a band whose, you know, sound is unrecognizable without the drummer. And he said Van Halen would be in that conversation with like Led Zeppelin and all the others. Mm-hmm. And somebody piped up and said, Alex is totally replaceable. It's Eddie and Michael that does the sound. I'm like, you don't listen to Van Halen because Alex is absolutely irreplaceable as a component of Van Halen.
I was going to say, I highly disagree with that.
Yeah. Respectively, you could not be more wrong. Yeah.
Right, right.
Hey, if you don't believe us, just ask some of the drummers, like some of the best drummers in the world who've talked about Alex, and they'll tell you he's the real deal. He's the shit.
Yeah.
100%. I remember when I was setting up my drum kit and I had a drum professional come over and I was asking him about the intro to Hot for Teacher and I played it for him. And he said, I don't understand how a human being can do that because he's doing like four different things at the same time. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the comments.
Big Al.
Damn right. The Mighty Van Halen says, agreed. Filler could be better. Killer groove, though. Absolutely. Of course, Shonky can fast fret. Had to pipe in and say, you already know our opinion. What does everyone else have to say? And Jeff says, you redeemed yourself after the one of you voting down in a simple rhyme, which was Todd, we should point out, voted down in a simple rhyme. I'm not sure how that happened.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You guys mentioned that, didn't you?
I can't remember what his reasons were, but yeah, he did.
Not a fan of that track or something. Yeah. You have to ask him next time you talk to him. Yeah, we're all.
Yeah.
When he gave the downvote, we're all like, what? Really? Like, Jesus.
Just goes to show you, man.
Call him and scold him.
Yeah, everybody listens to these songs differently. Different, they get a different feeling each time. You know, each person who listens to it. You know, I love Cabo Wabo, and I remember that episode. Some were saying, "No, thumbs down."
Yeah, I could believe that.
Ugh, but come on,
opinions are like assholes, and some are more full of shit than others.
No,
Greg Zito says, "Well, I had to downvote this one mostly because of the lyrics. I do want to recognize Alex, who shines on this track with John Bonham like drums." I guess that is why they brought Andy Johns on to produce. And that's exactly why they brought on Andy Johns to produce, right? Because Alex was a big John Bonham fan.
He was looking for that sound.
Yep.
Good on you, Greg.
Airhead 3 says, fully own that some of my upvotes will be controversial. He says he's upvoted every single song we've done, which includes How Many Say I. He says he's happy to defend those two. Yeah. But he was not expecting this one to be one of them. Too much focus this episode on Misheard. And yes, trite lyrics take away from great riffs, soaring vocals, a catchy chorus, and great play. So yeah, we focused too much on the Misheard lyrics, but again, we were just having some fun. We all agree the riff was great, the vocals were soaring, the chorus was catchy. We all gave it overall a thumbs up. So
yeah,
you know, sometimes we go on tangents. It's fine. It happens.
we're having fun with some buds over some whiskeys. It was all good.
Exactly.
Thrill of Heart says, great track. And it definitely says Flesh, Blood, and Bones. Yes, we know. It was just A to Z lyrics had a little misprint on their lyrics. We're going to go to a different lyric site, I think, from now on. Hopefully get more accurate lyrics.
Yeah.
Which one was it again that you found that?
A to Z lyrics.
A to Z lyrics.
Yeah.
A to Z lyrics. Yeah. Okay. Which they're kind of wishy-washy on that. But up Google had the correct ones. So.
Yeah, Flesh, Blood, and Bone. But definitely not as much fun as Play Splat and Bone. But Thrilla Art says, if I'm not mistaken, is this not the second time you've connected Sammy to chickens on some kind of kinky way? And you're exactly right. on the Finish What You Started, we mentioned that Sammy was so backed up.
Oh, you did. That's right.
That is just the cries of a horny man in Finish What You Started right there.
But see, there you go. And now we've just established the beautiful conspiracy of Sammy and Van Halen. It's all connected. All of it.
all tied together.
We'll find a way to connect that song with When It's Love, and it's really going to blow your minds.
Maybe Love Walks In is about chickens and not aliens. Maybe we'll spin that tonight. I'm hoping so. Our good buddy Tom says, going in, I was leaning over, but the groove just caught my ear this morning. Next week, it might be different. So yeah, it's one of those tracks that, you know, might toe the line, right? Depends on how it hits you. I know that little intro, did it for the longest time, always used to bug me, but it's grown on me as I've been getting older and crankier. I really dig that intro to the song now, so.
That reminds me of Eddie's statement about how the way he sounds, it's like falling down the stairs and landing on his feet. That's kind of that.
That's about right.
Yeah. I love that man.
It sounded like a mistake at the beginning. I was like, ooh, that's a choice. But then he just like, no, I got it.
Yeah, well, the I got a part. Is a ring with his guitar. He's like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah,
let's go.
I'm in now. And David says, wow, not a great response so far. I really like this track. It's got groove, and it does have groove. I'm kind of surprised that it was split as close down the middle as it was. Our good buddy Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty Project says, banging riff, great rhythm section, most half-assed lyrics on the album. Love it. Brilliant episode, and the Sean Keek podcast boys were fantastic again. And then he posted a picture of Sammy. Here, I'll show you guys if you can see it there. This Play Splat and Bone graphic.
Put that on a shirt.
We're getting that on. Yeah, we're getting.
Hey,
that on
yeah, I'll wear that.
There we go. Yeah, go to the podcastwillrock.com. Look for the merch. It's on its way.
Yeah. And finally, our friend Scott says, not one of my favorites, but the band saved it as always. 100% agree. Don't let Sammy's lack of thought in lyrics derail another show. And I don't even apologize for derailing another show. I had a blast talking with the boys about the misheard lyrics. I'm sorry we didn't get more into the music or into a more intellectual breakdown, but we were just having a blast. I'm sorry, Scott, but that's the comments from Man on a Mission.
There it is.
I loved it. I was laughing my ass off, man.
It was so much fun. Yeah, I know. Like we gotta have fun on these shows if we're gonna keep talking about it. I mean, talking about Van Halen is fun, but come on. Sometimes it's fun to just go on a riff about, you know, bullshit like
chickens,
misheard lyrics and chickens and things of that nature. But worth it. Totally worth it. So with that being said, Corey, I think it's time that I ask the important questions. And the important question is always this. What do we want to manifest on today's show? Eric, Kelsey, you are the guests. Eric, you have already mentioned that you have been manifesting something pretty hard. But before we get to you, Kelsey, you've just had a run-in with the medical field. You're not as sick as you thought. You're okay. You're here with us. Is there something very powerful, very, very power driven in the Van Halen sphere that you want to manifest in order to sort of give you that sort of upcharge that you need to keep on going?
Well, I was originally thinking I had a few in mind. The Dream Is Over, I would love to hear. That's a great song. The way that song opens is the first time I heard that song, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then that's a great song. Girl Gone Bad, I would love to hear. That's that song I could talk about for hours. Alex on that song, Eddie on that song, David, like all of them. And then you just mentioned Love Walks In. I absolutely love that song, and I could go on forever about that song as well. So, or Somebody Get Me a Doctor. That was like my I think that was my second most played song this past year on my Spotify. So I'm always down for that one too.
Classic.
Well, that would be a sweet touch of irony if that's the case. So who knows? Who knows? Who you might get it.
Eddie's here.
there it is.
You guys got to check out. Maybe you've already heard it, but there was a guy who did a classic solo instrumental version of Love Walks In on his guitar, and I put it up on VHND.
Yes. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Outstanding.
It really showcases the best of that song in that acoustic. I love that performance. It was great. Yeah,
he did it for his son. His son was moving on with his life, you know. And the video shows all of the footage of him as a baby growing up, and he's playing that song over it, and it's really good. Yeah, check it out. vhnd.com. free plug.
There you go, guys. So with that being said, Eric, what is the mystery track that you are trying so hard to manifest that you're calling your shot once again? You're one for one so far.
All right. I'm going to make my manifestation proclamation. Humans being.
Oh, now you're talking. Now we're talking.
Fire it up, boys. File it. Let's do it. Spin that.
I really hope you get it so you can explain the lyrics to me, because I don't know
if
what the hell Sammy's talking about.
I'll Venmo you $20 right now. Because I don't know what kind of betting odds we have, but I need yours.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm feeling it, man. Although people doubt that they still feel this is all pre-planned. I'm telling you, man.
Ugh.
It is real. The wheel is real.
The wheel is real. Yeah, we were gonna drop that bit, but I'm glad you brought it back up, because there it is. Because if it happens to spin the way that you are manifesting it, then we'll have a lot of explaining to do. But let me tell you something. If we land on Humans Being, it'll be an explosive show, because that is exactly the track that I want. That is absolutely the track that I have been waiting for. Ever since we started the show, that's the one. So but there is one other song that I want to try and manifest, only because we've got such a packed house. Why not pack it a little bit further? But I won't mention what the song is unless we spin it. But Corey, how about you? What do you want to bring forth?
Well, first of all, I love all your selections. Humans Being, I love that song so much. And The Dream Is Over from For Unlawful is one of my favorite Van Halen deep cuts. That is such a great tune. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I get to hear it every week, just in a little bit, whenever people downvote a song. So we don't hear it that often, because Van Halen is so good. First, I want to talk about, we had a fan reach out today by the name of Brad Gould. He's a Van Halen fan. Talked about loving the show. So I asked him, hey, we're recording tonight. What would you want to hear? And he said, well, I'm going to see the Chili Peppers tonight. So he really wants to hear Atomic Punk. So be his choice, which I would be totally down with as well. But I'm thinking more Van Halen too. I'm kind of in the mood for some Dave tonight. I'm thinking Dance the Night Away.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell, that's what I'm hoping
banger.
For.
You know what, Dave, they were going for basically inspired by Go Your Own Way from Fleetwood Mac.
Right. And they surpassed it.
Originally called Dance Lolita Dance.
Ooh, there we go. So both Eric and I have called shots here. So it's all up to Mark and Kelsey here. Hopefully this wheel will be friendly to one of you. What do you say? I'll give it a shuffle here, and do Mark, when you're ready, give it a call.
Shuffle it about and wait for Sammy to make his proclamation that we must do this now. Sammy, take it away.
Oh, we're gonna get Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do from Dallas.
Tell Me What Love Can Do.
I actually love this song.
Oh, hell yes.
Eddie's guitar and Eddie's tone in this. Oh my God, I can't
hell
wait.
Hell yeah. All you conspiracy theorists now, okay? There's no fix.
There's no fix. There it is. So that's very close. It's the other song I was manifesting does come from Balance, but it wasn't this one. So, but we got close.
We're getting closer, yeah. It's gonna happen. Yeah, but yeah. I'm not mad at this. Balance is really underrated to me.
Yep. Love the production. Bruce Fairbairn, the late great.
That's right. The late great. Massive. Yeah. If you if you loved an album from the 80s, good chance that Bruce Fairbairn produced it, right? Like he did Bon Jovi, he did Aerosmith, all the big ones from the late 80s on.
I always say, imagine this production on OU812.
It'd be phenomenal, right?
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does anyone have any particular fond memories or sort of connections with this song?
I remember not too recently, but somewhat recently, I was dealing with a heartbreak and I put this song on. And wow. Just this, like, oh my God, just this, like I said, his tone and then just the, bah, bah, like just the, oh, just goes so hard. I love this song.
Classic.
I wonder who is dumb enough to break Kelsey's heart.
Dumb enough to what?
To break Kelsey's heart.
Oh. That's a great question.
Well, you certainly picked the right band.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, man. I remember listening to this. I think it was at the fall of 95 that the single was released. And first impression was, wow, this is Ed doing something simple here, yet so effective. Just that, dun, 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 and we'll listen to that intro in just a bit, but powerful. And the lyrics were reflective of the time. They were looking for some darker lyrics because we were in that grunge era. And Sammy came up with some lyrics that were inspired by Kurt Cobain's suicide.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but the video for this, isn't it kind of like a pseudo sequel to the Can't Stop Loving You video?
Yeah, I guess you could say. I wonder if it was, I don't know if it was directed by the same person, but you're right. It had a similar feel to it.
I just remember those two kind of tying in together. I'll have to look that up here while the song is playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, I mean, the album it was another number one album and it did really well, but it was seen as a drop from the last because For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge did so well.
Right.
And, but it's hard. In retrospect, I mean, I would never have realized that the guys weren't getting along. I mean, it just never picked up on it. And then you hear later that the instrumental on the album was intended to have lyrics, but Sammy didn't show. And you're just like, wow, you know, because the album just kicks ass. And I remember being so excited the direction that they were going to go in, especially with Humans Being after that, which came in 96. It was like really looking forward to what they were going to do next.
Sometimes you find the inspiration in frustration, I guess. That seems to be the consensus here.
Well, that was the idea. And Dave used to say that the tension brings out that kind of music. Fair Warning was the example. You know, all of them they're not getting along. Ed and Dave create a frustration with Eddie. And here you got the same type of deal. I mean, Eddie was not happy with Sammy's lyrics. And there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Manager Ed Leffler passed away. They got guys coming in, new guy coming in, Ray Daniels, who managed Rush, and that didn't work out. And a lot of people blamed Ray Daniels for that. But looking back, he was saying that band was already on the way out by that time. I tell you, off the one song off of Balance that I love, that Aftershock, I love.
That's a great
song. Mm-hmm. Yep.
A lot of great tracks on this one. Can't Stop Loving You, like the big single. I that's one of my favorite Sammy tracks from Van Halen. I love that song.
As soon as I heard that on the radio, I'm like, hit. Another hit. You know?
And Not Enough was a song we did on the show here that pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan of Not Enough. I don't mind. I mean, I'll listen to it, but not a... But it was not, I mean, Eddie was having fun with, you know, with what he was doing on that, with the piano and all that, but not my favorite from the album. But
lyrically, it's pretty simple. I think I made the comment, had it been released in the late 80s, probably would have been a number one hit.
I remember you said that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so what do you say? Should we get into this one?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do from Balance. It's at this point I wish we did a video podcast because Kelsey immediately puts her hand on her heart and leans back and just you can tell how much she
loves my gosh, that tone. Woo! Yep. Wonderful.
It makes sense that this would be inspired by sort of the grunge era and the feeling of how people, what the energy was like after Cobain's passing. It's like this, the intro sounds like it might come from an album by one of those bands.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple, but so good. It hits so hard.
The brilliance of Eddie, man, didn't need to play 100,000 notes. He knows what, he knows what's up. He knows what a good song requires.
It's okay. I'll do what I want if I choose. I can take the fall as a choice. It's my destiny in my hands. Yeah, it's up to me. I can drive. I can shoot a gun in the streets. Stop me, some heroin.
All right, we're getting dark with Stormy Some Heroin there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that changed from the beginning, like that first few bars into this, like into the next section where like where you can hear Alex come in. Oh my god. Woo!
Yep.
Really
good. Yeah, man, that's got, it's just got an aggression to it. It's like a snarl to that sound.
Just hits.
Right. Yeah, you're right, Kelsey. The drums, man, when they kick in, again, that's that production. I mean, Alex is just massive on this album. Yeah. On that tour, he was great too, and he was hurting, man. Oh, yeah. He had that neck brace and,
right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but we'll probably mention it again, but Bruce Fairbairn, I thought, knocked it out of the park. Like, he knows how to produce Van Halen. Mm-hmm. Even if some of the songs aren't up to snuff, the production of this album is top notch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sorry, Eric, you're going to scratch your head, and I thought you wanted me to stop the track.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Hey, but those harmonies, wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Enough about the harmonies. don't get me started, Kelsey. Those
we wax poetic pretty good about the harmonies in this band.
Oh, my gosh.
Sammy wanted it to be, I Want to Show You What Love Can Do. And that just it just speaks to the division between the Sammy side and the Eddie side, because they didn't want that. And so, yeah, you change it. It just,
yeah.
But it works. It works, but it's just so not Sammy's such a positive guy. He's just,
yeah.
You know, he said, if you ever want to see, he goes, I'm a happy guy, but if you ever want to see me pissed off, it's because of David Lee Roth. when he was on tour with Dave, he goes, me and him, like oil and water. He goes, you know, I'm usually a happy dude, but.
isn't Amsterdam on this album?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Yeah, because I know I mentioned this last time, but when I read Eddie's book, I guess it was the biography, The Eruption. He said how much Sammy was pissing him off with his lyrics during this era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know, he never cared about that stuff before, not until then. That became an issue for him. But like he always used to say, I don't know what the hell they're talking. You know, he's like Dave and with Sammy. He's like, I'll just play. So things were changing, you know. Eddie was just starting to take over. It was his band. He was starting to was starting to become aware that, like, hey, you know, because even Sammy said up until then, Sammy was pretty much in charge. I mean, he was handling things just the way Dave was back in the day, but yeah. That was changing. It was Ed's band.
Now, is it right to take the easy way, close your eyes? Was that the reference to Kurt Cobain?
I don't believe. I know the one there's the one, I can't tell you what's right for you, and then I see the damage done. I heard the shotgun is definitely in reference to to Kurt. But those might be. Yeah, those might be.
Again, just kind of surprising coming from a Sammy song that it's this dark, right? Like we went from Man on a Mission to this, like polar opposites, right?
Yeah.
You see, he's got range in his lyrics. He can go dark if he wants to.
Yeah, and listen to that voice, man. That just
exactly
that sandpaper kind of scratch to it. You know, it's like Rod Stewart on steroids.
Yeah. And on the Man on a Mission comments, they talked about the soaring chorus. Listen to the soaring chorus of this one, right? It's phenomenal.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Love what he's doing there with the cymbals, right? Like he always knows how to accent Eddie's solos perfectly.
Taking a ride, yeah.
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 So good.
Damn.
Ooh, God, what a solo.
Fucking love Eddie, man.
Me too.
Amazing. And to the guy who said Alex is irreplaceable in Van Halen, with all due respect, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, respectfully.
All due respect, of course.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
You ever seen a very cloudy day and there's just a little bit of cracks? And so when the sun's right behind it, you can kind of see like little sunbeams show through.
Yes.
This solo sounds like sunbeams coming through, like rock music from the gods just showering the land. That's what this solo sounded like. So if you ask me, hey, does this Eddie solo fit the song? Yeah, it does. Okay, like this, if the song could be just completely crappy for the rest of the time, this solo would entirely make up for it, because wow.
Yeah
You know, it's Mark, gosh. You say that, it's interesting because I think about that with like the solo on Humans being a little different in that, or the song overall on Humans being, it's almost like there's a thing about Van Halen where you get that dark side, like you have here, and this song for straight through is dark, But then you have like Humans Being, where you have that chorus come in, shine on, shine on. It's like a fucking rainbow bursting through the clouds, you know?
Right.
Oh, man.
That has nothing to do with the fact that the song is featured on a song about natural disasters.
Right, right.
A movie about natural disasters. But it helps.
But here, you're right, though. It's just like his solos are songs within themselves.
Yeah.
Nothing just gives me a charge like the sound of Eddie on guitar and his solos.
Amazing.
Nothing. All right, where are we at now? He's getting back into the...
Take the easy way, I don't know. I get down on my knees and pray. Now I'm saved by a higher voice. Giving up, giving up, giving up my choice. If I'm wrong, hey, then I'll pay for every. Yeah, you're gonna deal with it, cause I'll try. Yeah, I'll try for it. I'll try, I'll cry, even die for it.
All right. Corey, right there. Now, I want to listen closer to this part because you can hear, it sounds like we're hearing Mike and Ed in the background, but it's very low.
Right.
But I think it's just Mike and Ed in the background here. But it's low in the mix.
It is, yeah. I'll back it up a little bit and we'll listen to that again. Yeah.
Yep.
It definitely low in the mix, right? And that's kind of surprising for a...
It's surprisingly low, but is it Ed and Mike or is it just Mike? It's hard to pick up on it, but there's something in there. It sounds like there's vocals there, but it's buried.
It is buried. And is it maybe because Sammy is killing it? This is one of his stronger vocal efforts in Van Halen, I think.
And his vocals on this album as a whole, you listen to, there's a little bit of, Mark, you can speak to this more as a singer, but there's a little more of like, there's a little reverb, like if you definitely with 5150, a little bit like an echo reverb type thing, but this is like a raw, dry sound to it, like in a good way, you know? It's not as spacey.
It's not as spacey.
Yeah. Almost like, on some of the vocals, you could put like that little effect on. It's like almost like in a small metal room type of sound, or you can have a nice big, you know, a grand big room sound. But this is just like stripped down in a way.
We're not given the sense that he's singing in like a grand hall with incredible acoustics. It's more like it's very condensed. It's very
condensed. Yeah. Like, not overproduced.
Yeah. Not overproduced, condensed in a good way. Like he's in the moment and he's not trying to overshadow the instrumentalization or anything like that. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I was going to say, like the amount of times I've screamed this in my car, it gives that vibe off that he's literally just like very, like he's just screaming straight from his, or like just shouting straight from his chest. And I'm like, which like, I was going to say how wonderful that part is, because you can just feel it. Like you can feel like with how hard the drums and how hard Eddie's hitting, and just it's like, dun, dun, dun. I was saying, like, I love screaming that in my car. And I feel like that it gives off that kind of vibe that he's like,
they're super tight, super tight by that point. Yeah. But yeah, you're feeling something from Sammy there, the frustration that he had with the band at that point. I think you're feeling it too, but it's his voice is so powerful. It's like effortless when he gets, especially if he gets up to a high note, it's like, it comes with such ease to him. Like he even says, he goes, I don't do anything, you know, I don't drink any magic potions or this, that, or the other. Although lately he said he's been doing a few things here and there just to try to keep it strong. Cause he's 70. What is he going to be? 75 in a couple of months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like this effortless way in which he sings these notes. So yeah,
but I love the comment about vocals being overproduced, because that's something Bruce Fairburn I think does really well, is how he does vocals. And you look at some of his other albums like Slippery When Wet or New Jersey from Bon Jovi, probably the best John Bon Jovi's ever sounded. Pump from Aerosmith, Steven Tyler sounds amazing on that album. Something like The Razor's Edge from AC/DC, you know, that's probably the best Brian Johnson's ever sounded. Like he really knows how to produce vocals.
Yeah, I forgot he did the Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's a great album.
Even some of the early like Loverboy stuff, you know, obviously he's a Canadian, right? He did like, you know, a couple of Loverboy albums in the early 80s, but Mike Reno, another great vocalist, but he really gets the most out of those vocal tracks. And he's doing it here with Sammy. Just, it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
So somebody came in on that. Oh, I heard the shotgun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of sounded like Eddie, but I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
I was going to say it didn't sound like Michael, so I'm not sure.
Can you play it back again?
Let's sure, I'll back it again.
Yeah. Let's listen to this one more time. Yeah, or is it Sammy doubling up on his vocals? Is he doing his own harmonies there?
Did he do a lot of that?
No. Which is interesting. Dave does a lot of that now. And he does a really good job with that, especially on these new songs on the California sessions. But Sammy never would do that. That was what Ozzy always did his own harmonies.
Yeah, Ozzy always did that.
Steven Tyler is another one who does his own harmonies, right?
But mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know on Humans Being, Eddie did the backing vocals. So,
yeah, you can hear Humans Being.
Oh, yeah. But you know it's Eddie. You can tell it's Eddie.
Yeah. 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 Interesting. Yeah. It's,
Sorry, Eric, were you cueing me to stop?
No, I'm sorry. My hand goes. I'm just listening to Sammy do the high.
He's vibing.
I gotta get better at reading people because everybody does a little something. I think they want to say something.
I'm almost like, hallelujah. Yeah, I got the hands. Hallelujah, that's Sammy. Sorry. Yeah, I'm throwing you off, Corey. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No worries.
Wasn't Greg doing that? Stop. Yeah. I think Greg went up. Stop right there. Oh, here comes a really cool part. Woo! And then Alex. Right here. Oh, I love that shit.
Oh, that's
phenomenal. I'm sorry, Corey. Can you play that part just one more time? I love that. You can hear Alex on the bass pedal.
Absolutely. Here we go.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so cool.
Don't tell me what love can do from Balance, a really underrated album. And I go back to a comment we had last week where if you don't like this, you might as well just turn in your Van Halen fan club card. Because
Yeah.
it seems to me that there's a lot of tracks that I would feel like you need, if you downvoted this one, turn in your Van Halen card, because
the Sammy haters, you know, the diehard Dave fans, Dave only fans, they'll shit all over it, I'm sure.
And the diehard Dave fans are missing so much great music.
I know.
More for us.
Yeah.
I used to say that, man. Ugh. Yeah. I used to, I mean, there was a time there where I was listening to Van Halen, Dave Solo, you know, Sammy Solo. I mean, it was like all of it was good to me, but
yeah.
Yeah. By the way, have you guys? Oh, there
you Dave go, loved Dave. It. Dave loved it.
Yeah. And Corey.
I didn't even play that. That was Kelsey.
By the way, Corey, thank you for wearing your assless chaps today. I really appreciate
it. Oh, it's
that.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Have you guys heard the Japanese version of this album that has Crossing Over?
Yes, we did Crossing Over.
You did actually Crossing Over.
Yeah, we cover Crossing Over, yeah.
What a great song.
Unreal. Yeah, you hear Alex's drums from 84 in one channel, Alex's drums from 95 in the other channel.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. That song. Yeah, that was added on. That was after their manager, Ed Leffler, died in 93.
Right.
That song was for him. But you know what's crazy is that Bruce Fairbairn was 49 when he died.
I know.
I mean, he was a young guy. He died suddenly, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but his discography is amazing. Like, he, starting with, say, Slippery When Wet, Permanent Vacation, New Jersey, Pump, AC/DC, The Razor's Edge, Poison, Flesh and Blood, AC/DC
ooh,
Live, ooh. Get a Grip from Aerosmith. Yep. Jackal, Push Come to Shove, which our friends at Pot of Thunder just did a Jackal song is phenomenal. Talking about vocals, NXS, Elegantly Wasted. Like, that's a great album from NXS, a largely forgotten band by 1997.
Is he on that? Yeah, Fairbairn he did that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he did Psycho Circus from Kiss. His last album was his last album was Yes, the Ladder.
Yeah.
Fun fact, that is the only Kiss album I have ever owned.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I just cuz I know, well, like, my dad was a huge Kiss fan, but like all of his albums were vinyl, and he got rid of his vinyl a long time ago, so I never got to experience them that way. But I never just actively bought a Kiss album until Psycho Circus. I don't ask me why. I think it was just because at the time it was new, and I was like, Kiss has a new album. Cool. Yep. Hey, I'm gonna buy that album. and I enjoy Psycho Circus for what it is. It's not the greatest.
Yeah,
it's not the greatest Kiss album, but it's good. Yeah.
Into
the Void, Feel with From Within. Like, yep. I mean, just we could go on and on, but fun fact.
That is a good album.
Hello.
Yeah.
Here I am.
When I used to.
And they only
Paul
played together.
Stanley from Kiss.
When I used to sing. When I used to sing, I sang Psycho Circus. It was like one of the first Kiss songs that I sang, and it was really fun. She was like, "Are you saying hello to me?"
Maybe we can. Maybe one of
Elsie's
these tribute
doggy
nights
is
I do.
In
we'll
the
do a Kiss tribute.
Oh, I would. Oh, Kiss. Woo! I love Kiss.
Oh my God, huge Kiss.
Mark,
those early albums during the original four era.
Oh, they're so great! But Mark, if you're looking for a great Kiss album, try Revenge.
Oh my God! Sure.
That is my all-time favorite.
Take It Off is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
like, great song. Unholy is like my favorite Kiss track of all time.
What's the other one? I just wanna. That's what it
I
is.
Just want is a great
I
one.
I don't want a romance. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah.
Oh, such a banger.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I was in Las Vegas
and Domino.
Can't
forget Domino. Yeah. When I was in Vegas, I went to Kiss Mini Golf, and I requested Rise to It from Hot in the Shade, and the guy almost hugged me because he's like, all we ever get is Rock and Roll All Night, and I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. The only two songs anybody ever requests. And I said, play something from Hot in the Shade. He's like, oh my God, an actual Kiss fan came to play mini golf.
Oh my God, I would have been like, play something off Unmasked.
Unmasked. I love it.
What an underrated
album. Girl. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite. Shit. My old car was named Shandy.
Oh man. Kelsey's a true rocker.
I tell you. Yeah.
I told you, I'm no poser.
Anton Figg is doing drums on that album, which was
The
David Letterman band drummer. If I can
he did a lot
out.
Of
yeah.
Kiss stuff.
He did. He did. I think. I don't know. They never offered him the job to take over for Peter. I think it was kind of understood. Like he wasn't wasn't interested in it, but that would have been cool if he did. I remember thinking, man, Peter sounds great on Unmasked. You know, like the,
yeah,
in the
same
internet
with Creatures
area,
of the Night. Oh, wow, yeah. Ace sounds really good on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and going Vincent, back to Psycho Vincent, Circus, by the way, they played together on one song, right?
Oh yeah.
Who are we talking on Psycho Circus? Who on played together?
Psycho Circus, the four of them only played together on one track.
Right. Right. I think maybe two. Was it Into the Void and
it's just Into the Void.
Guys, we should do a Kiss podcast.
I could have sworn.
If only that it's like that's amazing that it doesn't exist. It does. Oh, it does exist. That's right. Shout out to
Kiss podcast out there. Pot of Thunder.
Yeah. Pot of Thunder is amazing.
Thunder, love that.
Shout it out. Loudcast is a good one too. Yep,
shout out Loudcast. Yeah. Three Sides of the Coin.
Yep.
Three Sides of the Coin.
Yeah. You ever watch Three Sides of the Coin?
No, that's so cool. What a great song though. Two Sides of the Coin.
But now, as much as we love
we got to get back on topic.
We went off on a tangent. Yeah,
we did.
Oh, here come the haters.
Which I warned you. I know. Here they come. But
you guys had a great episode until you start talking about fucking Kiss.
Very well then. We just covered. We just covered a great Van Halen track. Oh, I think. Yeah. Don't tell me what I want. But the question is, and I have to ask. I'll start with you, Eric. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Would you say that this song is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? And I shouldn't tell you about it.
Do you have to ask? I mean, my God.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, absolutely, man. There isn't. I can't think of anything that I can even criticize on this track. Really, I mean, it's kind of bittersweet because it was just like, let's go. What's next? You know, waiting for the next album would have been, you know, usually on Van Halen time in the 90s, it probably would have, you know, we would have gotten, well, we did get one in 98, Van Halen 3, but it would have been.
But I tell you what, and Eric, you might be able to shed some light on this. We might get another Sammy and Eddie track.
Might get another what?
Sammy Eddie collaboration. I read an article on the Van Halen news desk.
Oh, I know.
Sammy says that Eddie came to him in a dream to write a new song.
Love.
Yeah.
That sounds like something Eddie would do.
Yeah. Yeah. He came to him and he said there was a bunch of people in the room, and Eddie came walking in with his guitar and he started playing a lick for him. And next morning, Sammy wakes up and writes lyrics about the whole experience, finishes the song. And he said they didn't do it in time to put it on their upcoming album, which I think Sammy's new album comes out next week with The Circle. Crazy Times. But he said, and his quote was, I will probably donate the money, the proceeds from the single to charity. And I really hope he does. Because if he doesn't, he's going to hear it. You know, because then I mean, you could read the comments on VHND, Corey, if you want. But yeah, he's just doing it for the attention or for the money. And I believe what he experienced is what he experienced. And
100%. Yeah.
He, you know, we'll see. I'm interested in hearing what the song is called. Thank You.
Yes.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Well, thank you, Eric, for your thoughts on that. To no one's surprise, that is what dreams are made of for him. But Kelsey, do you agree that Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do is what dreams are made of, or should we all just shut our mouths because the dream is over for you?
You know what? Actually. I'm definitely gonna go play this in my car and after we're done.
Right, I know, that's what it does.
I can't remember the first time I heard this song, but it was like very early in my Van Halen obsession, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing, this is unlike anything I've heard from them. And so, yeah, no, this song has a very special place in my heart.
When did you become a fan?
The first time I heard, like, I remember hearing Van Halen, my mom, we were listening to 94.7 FM and Panama came on and my mom like turned it all the way up and she was like, I fucking love this song. Uh-huh, nice. And so that was like the first time that like I really like that I recognized Van Halen. But when I really started getting into them was like early 2018. So I
that's
was like
so cool, man.
I was
that's...
17. I was 17 going on 18.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You hope that there are more fans that this band gets as the years go on.
If I have anything to do with it,
hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. All the young people promote the show. Get the word out in case you weren't aware of, or if your friends are not aware of Van Halen, you might be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, all my friends are.
Cool. Of course they are. You're doing it right. And my friend Corey, what say you, sir? Is this song What Dreams Are Made Of? Or for you, is it just, did Eddie just not come to you in a dream because the dream is over?
I'm just kidding. I love this song. I was so happy when we spun this. I know we all listed like great songs and nobody's even thinking balance. But when this came up, I'm like, this is such a great mirror image to last week. Like I like Man on a Mission, but lyrically, you know, it's not Sammy's strongest. Vocally, he's okay on that. He is killing it on this song, like lyrically and vocally. 100%. This is Sammy Hagar at his absolute best, and the band super strong. I love both solos we got out of this. I love the mix. I'm a huge fan of Bruce Fairbairn. I thought he got the best out of this band. A band in turmoil at this point, like they're, you know, they were so at odds recording balance, and they produce such great music. And this is such an underrated album for me. This is absolutely what Dreams Are Made Of. This may be top five Sammy Hagar, Van Hagar, if you will, for me. I love this song.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Eddie Trunk loves this song. He loves, yeah, he's talked about this song. He loves this song. All right, Mark, you are up. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of extra feedback other than what's been provided. I'll just say, yeah, I think this is absolutely an underappreciated song from an underrated album. I did not know the backstory of the content of the song, which kind of hits really, really hard and makes me appreciate it all the more. And look, you can hate on Sammy all you want out there, all you naysayers of Sammy, and you can talk about his lyrics all you want. But look, at least in these lyrics, he is making a point to tell you there's a specific subject in mind. And he's letting you know what that subject is. And he's not shy to let you know what it's about. And I don't know. I just appreciate it. I appreciate that there was a little bit, because it's inspired by what some may call the death of the grunge era. There's a little nod to the grunge era in the intro. I love that. And what more could I possibly say about that solo? I mean, for a lot of Van Halen songs, that solo can just make the song that's good seem just absolutely great. I think this is one of those. I think this was a good song, just absolutely torpedo to greatness because of that solo, among many things. And also kudos to Alex Van Halen. I get more and more impressed every single week that we do this show, and I'm like paying so much more attention to what he's doing. It's so great. I really enjoy this song. So I hope you, the audience, enjoyed it too. And if you didn't, then I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
If you didn't, fuck it. No. I found an interesting quote, though. Chuck Klosterman of Vulture.com ranked this song the 67th best Van Halen song, calling it the best song off the worst Van Halen album that isn't Van Halen 3.
Wow.
Damn. I'll
throw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's shade, but it's also somewhat complimentary, but so it's like back shade, which I don't know how I feel about that comment.
Yeah. Do you remember? I'm trying to remember what was the number. What did he put for the very last? I think he put Why Can't This Be Love as the worst Van Halen song.
Did he?
I think he
that's
did it.
That's the worst Van Halen song
I
list.
I believe. Hold on. I got it right here.
Yeah.
Right in front of me.
That's
hold
insane.
On. Yeah, I think he knew that was going to get some people pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had Eruption at one. Yeah, clickbait. I mean, you know, he knew it was going to. I mean, Chuck Klosterman's a great writer, like a very, very good writer. Really knows his stuff, and but he'll tell it like it is, and he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers. Okay. Where the hell is I'm looking? Oh yeah, why can't this be love? 131, wow. And he writes, just so we're clear, this is not the single worst Van Halen song to listen to. I won't jump out of a moving vehicle if it comes on the radio. But Why Can't This Be Love was the first single released off 5150, and that was the worst decision the band ever made. If they'd opened with Get Up or Summer Nights, the collective view of post-Roth VH would likely be quite different. Introducing the Hagar era with a cold mid-tempo keyboard-based love song installed the belief that Van Halen was moving away from high-octane fiesta rock and toward responsible AOR maturity.
I agree with that.
That's an interesting take. Okay, I'm glad he elaborated on that. But I don't know if I 100% agree with it personally, but I understand where he's coming from making that that statement. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, he's putting it there for a reason. He's basically saying that, you know, it it basically set the it set up the next era, which was not going to be what we were listening to from the Dave era. Dave era had attitude, you know.
He's not judging the song on its merits then. He's judging on it the fact that it was the first single, which maybe isn't fair.
Yeah. Right. He had Tattoo at 130.
Really?
How many say I? 127.
Oh, wow. And see, like, Why Can't This Be Love isn't even the worst song on that album. Inside is on the album, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So, I mean, having listened to and analyzing How Many Say I can't in good conscience recall any, or I can't give any other Van Halen song the worst song, the title.
If this is the same list I'm thinking of, then he ranked Black and Blue pretty low. And that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, let's see. Blue. Yeah, I think 97 he put it at.
I think he was like, it inspired a movie or it inspired something because I don't remember the story, but it's like some crazy story.
What inspired Sammy to write the lyrics, you mean? Or
no, it was this is gonna be wild to just claim, but I'm pretty sure I read this, that there was like a teacher student relationship, and it inspired, like, the teacher used that song to make the student kill her husband.
Yeah, here's what Klosterman writes. In 1990, New Hampshire high school employee Pamela Smart used this plotting OU812 track to sexually seduce a 15-year-old male student, later convincing the teen to murder her husband. That sentence is not a music review, but it tells you almost everything you need to know. I love Black and Blue too. That's a
I love that song, but that is wild. That's crazy.
I'm going to defend the music of How Many Say I. Can't defend Eddie's vocals. The music is beautiful.
Oh. Well, you're a very sweet man, Eric.
I think the music is
beautiful.
We love
you, Eddie. So
there you go. And I'm glad Eddie did it, because hey, you know what?
It's certainly not the worst. Yeah. It's certainly not the worst piece of music I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. But just as far as the Van Halen catalog goes, it is. Ooh, it's that one's way, way, way down there.
It's been so long since I've even listened to that song. I'm like scared to listen to it again.
Oh, then if you're scared to listen to it, then definitely don't listen to our episode where we break that one down, because, oh boy, it is.
Well, I remember seeing that one and I was like,
And I thought I skirted that one, like, oh, thank God, because I was on the next episode. And then you asked me, what do you think of it? I was like,
But anywho, that's the show. That's how we do it. And then we did it with our all-star August guest, Eric Sinich, Kelsey Van Halen. So on behalf of Corey and myself, thank you both for being on the show yet again. You're returned. You are returners. So thank you very much. It's always a pleasure having you.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. Kelsey, great to meet you.
Yeah, it was good to meet you too. I can't remember who suggested it, but when he suggested it, I was like, hell yeah, I will totally join. This will be awesome.
Yeah, this was a blast, guys.
Let the people know where you guys are on the social media if you want them to follow, and what's going on in your world.
Kelsey, you go. You're up first.
Well, pretty much all my social media is Kelsey Van Halen. So so wherever y'all want to find me, that's where I'll be at.
Cool. VHND.com. Of course, that's the place to go to stay up on what's going on in the world of Van Halen. Of course, with Sammy and Mike with the Circle, and who knows what's next for Dave. And and VanHalenStore.com, of course. Get your merchandise there. And BookedOnRock.com. Check out my podcast if you get a chance. Corey is a faithful listener. Thank you, sir. BookedOnRock.com. Just put up this week, there's an episode on author Lisa Torum, who wrote a book on Billy Joel. Fun episode. And God, I'm up to 80 episodes now, Corey. Can you believe that?
That's amazing. We've only done 42 of these, and you're up to 80. That's great.
Cranking them out. So having a lot of fun with it, and got some good stuff coming up. We got an author of a book on Cheap Trick. Brian J. Cramp. But yeah, check it out. BookedOnRock.com. It's all right there. So give it a listen. We got like what, 3 or 4 different Van Halen related interviews on there.
That's right. Yeah. So right, legitimately on. One of my favorite podcasts. I know you just did one with an author who did a book on Phil Collins in the 80s that I've been obsessed with. I love that show. And you can find me following Kelsey on Twitter, living a much better life than I'm leading. She's a must follow on Twitter. We all love Kelsey, and hopefully we can get her back on the show talking Van Halen. It's always a great time.
And good. I'm glad you guys enjoy my Twitter.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I got to get on that too.
There you go. Corey, absolutely. Where can they find you? Where can they find the show?
They can find me listening to Booked on Rock. I love that show. They can find me listening to the Sean Geek podcast, who suggested this little matchup with Eric and Kelsey, and it panned out. It was one of our best shows, I think. And they can find me doing too many fucking podcasts. I do one on on movie music, Backtrack Steam Music, where we're talking about everything movie music. I do one on Aerosmith called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we're trying to compile the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape. And you can find me, hanging out with Mark every once in a while, talking Van Halen. www.podcastwillrock, where you can catch up on old episodes. You can get some merch that I'm sporting here tonight. And at podcastwillrock on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show. And, we're going to be getting some Van Halen fans back on the show starting in the fall here. So if you'd like to be on the show, shoot us a tweet and let us know.
Absolutely. And you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram, usually tweeting about nonsense, but every once in a while I tweet about something awesome. Be on the lookout this coming Labor Day weekend. If you're in the States, Dragon Con is among us, and I'll be there. So maybe I'll dress up. Maybe I'll be hanging with some celebs. You never know, but be on the lookout on my social medias for that. I might even run into a rock star or two that dreams can come true if you just believe. And we believe in the power of dreams, and Van Halen dreams specifically. That is what dreams are made of. That is why we do the show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.